This is the local music revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Local Music Revolution. I am your host, Ogre. How you guys doing? On today's episode, we have a local metal band out of my area in Central California by the name of Affirmative Reaction, or as they affectionately like to call themselves, Pound Pound. Funny thing is, this band has a lot of history with me. I've been playing with some of these guys for, you know, over 10 years and lost contact and then finally found them because of this band, which is super awesome. But the first interview, if you listen back in one of the episodes, it was a lot of reminiscing and not talking about the band. Sadly, that's what happened, and I feel bad about it, but this is why there's a longer interview, and we're able to actually celebrate the fact that these guys are a band, and they are rocking it. Before we get to the show, though, you know, we have to do social media, so if you like what you hear, you can follow us on thelocalmusicrevolution.com. That right there is where all the updates happen, and it is like the hub of all of my information. If you want to get social media contact, that's facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, on Twitter at TLMRpodcast, on Instagram at thelocalmusicrevolution, and on Tumblr at tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. Just want to hear from you guys, know what you guys think. If you have any bands that you want to suggest, please use those platforms. Let me know which bands you would like to hear, because I'm really interested in bands. I really, really am, guys. I'm also interested in companies that can help bands. So if you actually know of a company, a promotion company, anything like that, let me know. I'm very, very, very interested. And speaking of which, one of my sponsors, Stringjoy.com, is one of those companies that I really, really enjoy working with and being part of. So go to stringjoy.com and you can check out what they have to offer you. If you don't know or you're too lazy, here's what they do. They customize sets of strings for you. So if you guitarists or stringed instrument players ever found yourself lacking in the string department, that's where they can help you. They'll take what you want to hear, and they will actually translate it into gauges of strings that can help you. And you can test and let them know. They are fully willing on helping you customize a set of strings that will get your sound from your hands to your ears. They also make instrument cables that you can customize down to the inch, the color, and even the connections. And you know, those 90 degree angles are just fantastic when you're trying to connect in small spaces. Don't lie, we've all tried it. So go to stringjoy.com, check them out, let them know what you want. And when you get to the end of the line, enter promo code LOCAL, that's L-O-C-A-L, and you'll get a discount for being a listener of the Local Music Revolution. Just a few things before we get into this interview. There are no more information after this. It's just going to be interview. There are no songs, sadly, because Affirmative Reaction is still fairly new. And sadly, Dirtbag Block of Rock will be missing from this episode because Dirtbag Smitty is working on his band Core, which we fully support, so we can go a week or two without this. In any event, Dirtbag Clothing is fantastic. A musician's company made to help them out. Go check them out, man. You can get all kinds of apparel and everything like that. But if you are a band and you've got a following and you think that you have what it takes to go to the next step, check out what they can do for you as an artist. It's dirtbag.com or dirtbagclothing.com. Now, without any further ado whatsoever, this is my buddies in Affirmative Reaction. All right, I'm back here with Affirmative Reaction, or Pound Pound, correct?
Either or.
There you go.
You like it.
I prefer Pound Pound.
Pound, pound.
By the way, it's awesome.
Do you guys have like a secret handshake where you just pound your fist twice and like, no?
No.
You should make a band shake. Like, a just band shake. Band handshake.
We're not your average boy band.
No?
We're not even a boy band. There's no handshakes going on.
I can't sing. We thought about it. I could, you know, we were thinking about Justin Bieber type shit. We're like, nah, I can't sing.
Why would you do that?
It's a joke.
I know it's a joke, but still, bro. Damn.
That joke's a little over the line.
It's obscene, man.
Jack Turkey's a little over the line.
You know what? Take a drink of your beer. Man up a little bit.
Okay.
All right, guys.
Slackers.
So you guys played here again tonight. Let's talk about your set. I really enjoyed your set. Really fun to watch. Bob, of course, you are just phenomenal to watch, man.
The only drummer I see that headbangs like that with long-ass hair like a fucking madman.
And it gives us competition over here in the strings. Yeah.
You gotta keep them on their toes.
Legitimate. But yeah, what I want to address first is the Cold Chamber cover. Like, that was out of nowhere. Do you guys have any other covers that you guys work on?
We have a few. We got the two Nirvanas, a Black Sabbath.
Really? That's nothing alike. That is amazing.
Everybody has different influences. You know, we all bring something different to the table. We all have different bands we love. It's cool. Like,
it's good to have a variety of different sounds.
So Bob pointed at you. So are you the one that was like Cold Chamber?
Fucking A.
Loco,
Cold
all the
Chamber.
Way.
You remember back in the Cesspool days, not to bring up bullshit, but the bangs? Like,
yeah.
Bradley from Cold Chamber is a major vocal influence for me.
Oh,
Big time.
Dude, so. Fiend? I heard Fiend and I was sold. Like, Loco was good, but Fiend sold me.
Fiend, that's like way further into their career.
Yeah.
That's like third album in.
Yeah.
I've been to Cold Chamber. I love Cold Chamber. They're just awesome. And
then Tragedy?
I talked these guys into it. It was sweet, dude. I'm like, okay,
So you guys...
We're playing a little too fast, but...
My fault.
Not fast enough.
That's whatever. Fun, though, dude.
It's bad.
Like, seeing Bob try, Like, he's fucking on it, dude.
I like that. Seeing Bob try.
Yeah. Thanks.
Sometimes I gotta try, dude.
That shit's fast, though. I don't know.
It really is. And you guys in the streams keep up so good. Like, I really enjoyed watching the entire band. Like, I had to go from watching you, Bob, to actually seeing the band perform this. Because, I could not believe, firstly, that you guys were doing a Cold Chamber cover. Because nobody does Cold Chamber covers.
No.
Nobody knows who they are anymore.
Barely, right? And then it was just fun watching you guys. And I'm super excited that tonight I finally got to see, and experience what you guys are bringing to the table. Because it's completely different than everything we reminisced about.
Glad you like it.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Hold your drink to that.
I like to call it Pantera did and say we're reinventing the steel, reinventing the metal sound.
There you go.
It's got away from what it used to be, our roots and what brought metal to the scene it used to be. So I like to think we're bringing that back, that old sound back to the table.
Yeah, man. I was just talking to Chris about that. Like, I've been trying to find a band, but I cannot find members that want to do the thrashy, like the old kind of metal sound. Yeah, it's in your heart.
That's right.
And it's like with you guys, you can see it. It's in your heart. You guys found each other. It's freaking amazing.
We feel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty much what it comes.
We're just playing whatever, our influences are, what we like to do. Just bring it all to the table and it just comes out like what we do.
It is so nice, though. So nice.
Glad you like it.
So it took you a while, Midnight, to actually get into the groove. You were like sitting there and everything, and then when you got into it, man, you were slinging your hair and everything like that. Like,
oh yeah, the first song I forgot to let my hair down.
Yeah, so I saw that. I saw that, dude, and I was like, damn, dude.
It's
amp on, plugged in, and
I was ready to go, and I forgot to put my hair down. I just had a headbang and do what I could do. And the second song, I let my hair down and fucking gave it to it.
There you go, man. I also really like the fact that you went between and onto the floor.
You should have seen this guy when he has wireless. Get another fucking wireless. This guy and fucking our old guitar player, Ron, who hopefully may or may not, depending on who you ask, be rejoining the band. This guy was with his wireless, dude. He would disappear. I would be up on the stage by myself. I look behind, I see Bob on the fucking drums. And this guy and Ron would be in the crowd, just in the mosh pit, circling.
We used to like to start in the back of the crowd and then work your way forward. Push some people around, you know, get a good little mosh pit going right before the breakdown.
You know, it was sweet.
Have you ever?
You know, I got the insecurity up all over the stage and shit. Like,
just him and his plow disc. Oh, but have you ever broken like a guitar, or have you ever broken strings or anything like that?
Broke a string tonight.
You did?
Broke a string tonight on our freaking Nirvana cover.
You broke a string, dude.
So that's why we couldn't play.
That's exactly why. I never put it away, freaking, unless
I had one more before I was puking anyway. So that's probably the best you did break a string.
Well, we did have three more covers.
Wow.
We're working on new material too, but since Alex joined the band, he's got some new songs. We just want to tighten him up a little bit more before we bring him to the table.
He graced us with his beautiful sound.
He's got some good shit we're working on.
Yes, he does.
Dude, that first song you guys played, though, are there like two solo sections in it, or was it two different songs?
Was it
divided? Is there 20 solos in there? I can't count them all.
And there's two to three spots.
There's three solos in that song.
Because I remember going, oh, that's a sweet solo. Like,
there's your first solo, then there's your interlude, and then there's your second solo fade out.
See, and I was like, this is cool, and I was like, is this the same? This is the same song. And then I heard the next one, I was like, nope. All right, I'm good. Like, damn. That was amazing.
Thank you.
That was super cool, man. So,
wasn't for these guys, you know, getting it together, we wouldn't have a good sound.
But you got to give yourself credit, man, because there are bands.
I'm the link between the guitarist, the vocalist, and the drummer.
Well, the thing is,
but
there
these
are
guys,
bands,
they didn't do it, man.
There are bands where when the solo breaks in, like, everything drops out. And tonight, I didn't hear that. I actually heard you. You kept it up there. You kept it to where, you know, that was still prominent and driving and everything like that.
Still?
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Again, the influence from the old style that we bring into the time.
Like the 5 minutes alone solo. If you listen to that, Rex holds that down.
Well, that's
right?
Rex, dude.
Well, it's Rex, but Midnight's holding it down for you, man. However you slice it, man. Like, he's got that. He's holding you guys
up. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Amazing. So... All right, so you said that you broke a string tonight. Do either one of you actually carry like two guitars for the same tuning or anything?
I used to. I had an incident, shattered my other bass, my Warlock, and I haven't got another one since.
The answer should be yes.
My Hondo is in repair also.
I can't talk shit, so I don't have two mics.
But yeah, I do have two bases.
I have to get you by this pretty soon. Just to be safe.
No, that thing's pretty resilient. I have to fucking pound it
on all my bases. It takes it like a champ.
See, now I got to start bringing more bases.
There you go. Just tunings you don't even use. Just to switch it out. Just do a little solo.
Well, we do have, between our songs, there is a tuning difference. So to have two guitars would probably be good, but...
Well,
they're quick at changing tuning.
It's 5 seconds.
Yeah, these guys are pretty fast.
So what tuning do you guys use?
Standard.
Really?
Dude,
I tried standard when I first started playing guitars, and I was like, I dropped it down to D, and I was like, oh, there it is. I recently played C, and I was like, oh my gosh.
That's that Slipknot tuning. Drop C. Normally bands use
lower,
like
bro.
D and stuff, because that's a good metal sound.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm always just a fan of the standard tuning. You know, like,
the natural E is really good.
You just scream into a stick and
everything's
good.
I don't have to worry about tuning.
Oh, dude.
My drums aren't even in tune. Go hit them, you'll see.
It's okay. I did that for years, man. I used to play with no bottom layer on my drums. Because I thought I liked the sound at the time.
Yeah.
And then like 2 months later, I was like, this sucks. And then I changed it. Like, that's the way to do it, man. Like, I can't stand that, man. Like, I'll change it up. Everything I do in music, I change up. I try to at least once, you know, never try to do the same thing twice, because if I do, I get bored. I'll start hating it so much.
I usually don't play the song the same way twice. Nah. Every time I play a song,
you Bill Ward that shit?
Different.
You Bill Ward it?
It is always different. There's a bass, like, drop beat to every song, but it's never played the same way twice, ever. And it's not on purpose, it's just my stoner memory.
That's fine, man.
You don't even smoke anymore. What do you mean stoner memory?
It's only been 2 months, fucker.
2 months? You don't know what I've been through 2 months.
The struggle is real.
Hashtag.
Hashtag real world problems.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the tuning and everything. Bob, your drum set, it has three mounted toms. Do you have two floor toms or just one?
Only one floor.
Only one? And do you do rolls all the way through, or yes, do you pick and choose?
Yep, I start to finish on them.
Don't let him lie to you. He has two floor toms. He just doesn't use the second one.
I don't use the second one. No.
What? Why not?
Because I mounted a bigger tom up on the, it's now up on the rack.
Oh, okay.
Still should use it.
Dude, I got an electric set with three mounted toms, one floor tom. I don't think I'll ever be able to play a two tom set ever again.
You have to reach too far to get to that second floor.
Yeah, yeah.
So to have that one in between there, it covers the gap. It doesn't mess with my ride in the way or nothing. So I'm set.
See, what I found when I was learning to try to play ambidextrous, I put a floor tom on each side.
Dude,
it was so fun. Oh my God, the beats I came up with were just killer. Because you have to rethink everything, and that goes back to trying to like make it new again.
And see, I don't think when I play, the music makes me move. So I couldn't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I can't do it.
Dude, I anticipate every single move I do. Now, actually executing it to perfection, that's the toss-up. But everything that I do, man, I know exactly two steps ahead and everything like that, man. Like, I have to. Like, I know exactly when that roll is going to come. I know when it's supposed to hit. I know what I'm going to try to play and whether or not it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I made my nights. You know, the nights with the two or three people in the crowd?
That if I get messed up or fuck up somewhere, I can always refer to my simple drop beat and catch where I'm at. Donnie's usually good about staying somewhere in view.
I'm a bass player. I'm always on time.
Get me back on.
Cocky as hell, man.
Arrogance should be his middle name.
Damn, man.
Just saying.
Donald Arrogance Alexander.
You're so, not always on time. You get sauced a little bit. No,
but I don't lose my timing. I might fall over, but I'll keep the time.
Dude, there's been a lot of drunk people play the best shows of their lives.
Tell them.
You're just waiting on the right time, man.
It's about the energy, man. It's not about perfection. It's about the energy you bring.
It's that looseness, man.
Fan. They were fucking sloppy as hell a lot of the time. It's the energy.
That's part of that whole movement, you know? Is slop and not really giving a fuck.
Yeah.
See, and that's where I have a hard time with that movement. It's because, like...
Your precision or what?
You're just too
young.
No.
I'm super into making it look fun. Because, like, Tommy Lee would flip his sticks, do stick tricks and everything like that, inspired an entire generation.
He is a showboating motherfucker. Him and Ricky Rocket are some of my favorite showboaters.
Exactly,
right? I just want to know how you go from Nirvana to Tommy Lee.
Well, listen...
That is a good question, Donnie. How do you go from Nirvana to Tommy Lee?
The problem with it was they were like, we're just going to put on regular-ass clothes. We're going to be regular-ass dudes or everything like that. Now, it spoke to the generation, which is freaking amazing. But before that, they would dress up. There'd be separation. It'd be like, these guys are the band.
Yeah.
Like, go to Cold Chamber. Like they, and you could point like a mile away and go, that guy.
He's wearing a bunch of makeup. He's probably in the band.
Exactly.
Like handcuffs and spikes and fucking chains and makeup on.
Exactly, and that's where I have the problem with it. It's just the fact that you know they were just like, we're just be regular dudes. You're not regular dudes. None of us are regular dudes.
We're
you
just
on
some,
stage,
we're
you're
just
a persona
some homegrown
that's just,
motherfuckers out of your backyard, fucking just playing it, doing it up, and keeping it real.
I know, but when you're on the stage, you are those regular dudes, but you're doing something great. And I just feel the way I grew up, the representation should be there as well. What is going on?
He's like, I got something on my mouth now. Alex, let's hear it, Alex.
What do you feel about the grunge era?
The grunge era.
Are you guys leaving? Leaving?
All right, the question.
All right, cut that part out.
Where are we at? What's the question?
The Nirvana. Nirvana versus like showboating and stuff like that. Just being like, we're gonna be regular ass dudes. We're gonna go on stage, do things. Or you'd be like, you know, Kiss, fucking dress up and make a spectacle.
I don't know. It just depends on the persona you're trying to give out. I mean, there's the showboats, you know, like you know, Motley Crue, you know, the whole glam metal. You got Kiss, you know, it's all like, you know, they're trying to put on a show too. But, you know, some of us, you know, we just want to get up and play music, you know. We're not trying to, like, you know, show off our looks or nothing. We just want to get there, have a good time, you know. Like,
I got you.
You know, it's just a bunch of dudes getting together and just trying to put on a show.
I got you. Now let me amend this and say my favorite band's Pantera. It has been since I was 3. The reason I play the drums is because of Vinnie Paul and Cemetery Gates. Now, they had their glam, but when they took that shit off and they actually started wearing regular clothes and being who they were supposed to be, completely turned to metal on its head.
It did.
So, there is an amendment to this rule.
What do you got against glam metal?
I don't have anything. I grew up, my mom would make me listen to 80s new wave and glam metal.
Steel Panther is where it's at.
You are there. Yeah, but
they're bringing back and reinventing the steel, like I said.
Dude, they're making it so much better, though. They're taking everything glam and making fun of it super hardcore. And I've got all of their albums. I heard one song and I was like, screw it. I'm a fan. I don't care. I showed my wife songs and she's like, this is stupid. And two years...
You're a girl. It's meant to be sexist and you're not going to like it.
Well, the thing is, 2 albums later, she's sitting there singing the worst of the songs and shit like that. Yeah. Dude, my favorite song to listen to those guys is The Burden of Being Wonderful. Like, just because the video is so hilarious, dude. Like, I love that song.
The dorky-ass dude takes the hooker home?
Yeah, yeah. And then the hooker goes, and she, like, looks in the mirror, and she wants to be Lexi. I'm like, that's incredible, dude. Like, I tried showing that to everybody. Nobody would listen to me.
Community property and fucking, What is it called? Gangbang at the old folks home.
Dude, oh my god!
Those are the ones, man.
I love that song, dude.
Party like tomorrow's the end of the world. Those are the ones.
Dude, if I have to clean my apartment, what I do is I go, I put on my Steel Panther, I put it on shuffle, and I just go. Because I'll sit there, be doing dishes and shit like that, and I'll be like, oh my god, this is hilarious, and just laugh my ass off.
I like that. Death to all but metal.
There you go. Did you know
Death Corey's? To all but metal.
Wait, death to all but metal?
Or
is it death to all butt metal?
That's what it said, death to all butt metal.
So, before we get back onto what we need to be talking about, did you know Corey Taylor actually has a guest spot on Death to All But Metal? You do? Actually, a couple songs on that first CD.
Yeah.
There's actually video footage that, like, download.
He's badass.
There's video footage of, like, Download Festival where he's singing Death to All But Metal with them. It's amazing. Yeah. Love that shit.
He's the one that says the whole Death to Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, that verse.
On their camel toe and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Oh, dude. When he sang Fuck You, but with Damage Plan, like, that song on the Damage Plan CD, Corey Taylor did some vocals on it. By far my favorite song off that CD. Amazing. If you haven't listened to it, listen to that shit. You'll understand why Damage Plan should have been something huge. All right, back to you guys. So,
back from that tangent.
Yes, huge tangent. It's only 18 minutes. Come on.
Every time.
We got some more to talk about. All right.
Handle it.
All right. So, writing. You said that you guys are currently writing because of this gentleman's wonderful guitarist.
Got a bunch of riffage trying to get out.
So how many songs exactly? Do you have, like...
Let's hear from Alex.
All right, go.
One we're trying to tighten up.
Yeah, we got this one working on, you know, with the shows that we had coming up. You know, we haven't really had time to work on it as much as we wanted to. But hopefully by next show we should be able to have it ready.
A couple weeks. It's me that's holding this up, actually. I got one little spot in the song that I fuck off every time because there's, like, a delayed little dun-dun kind of chug, and I just space it because I'm in the moment, dude.
Yeah. He just keeps falling off time.
It puts me off time because it drags out the time, those little chugs. And they're cool. Yeah.
Tricky change-ups.
I make it a little interesting.
But that's good.
Did you try to, like, dumps, Stones.
No, I've just learned to kind of play through it, and that's how I cope with it.
He's got a Lars Ulrich it up.
Yeah, oh. I do. I'm Lars. Like I said, I don't play the same shit the same way twice. I don't practice to be Mr. Perfect, Mr. Metronome, or nothing. No.
I want to bat 1,000 with his face, you know?
Well, that's where a little more of that rawness and fucking let's bring it down. And it's more about having fun.
Keep it real.
Keep it real, exactly.
It is real. And
I'm
that's
not trying to be mechanical.
See, that's what's great about the live show is you can mess up. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm like, good. Like, they're human.
That's
know?
How I feel too.
Yeah.
There's no auto tune here.
Like, I saw Trivium. I saw Trivium in 2010, and Matt Heafy's guitar went completely out. He was playing air guitar while singing while they were fixing his guitar. And I was like, that's the best show of the day.
Yeah.
Shows that they're human.
Yeah, but he played the show.
Yeah.
And that's what's great is because, you know, like I was taught hella early, like if you drop a stick, continue. Figure out a way. Move your hands, move your feet. I don't care what you do, just do it.
Yep. Gotta stay moving.
Exactly. And the live show, like Bob, we talked about this earlier. You dropping that stick, man? I was like, that's a man after my own heart.
You didn't break it?
No, I surprisingly did not break any of your Rock Band drumsticks you gave me.
I gave him 2 Rock Band drumsticks. I told him, dude, you're probably going to break these motherfuckers.
Like, these
just fucking
toys.
Do it, dude. He's like, all right.
Drumsticks. These are
didn't toys. Break.
No, they didn't break.
I've tried.
They might be reinforced.
I guess I didn't do it right.
I've tried to do every drumstick that I've been able to get my hands on. I've never broken a head drumsticks, and that's because they're metal. But the toughest ones were the David Silvera drumsticks, so his signature sticks back in the day. Those Vaders were the toughest drumsticks I've ever had.
Vader's got a good stick, but you're gonna pay for that too.
Yeah,
that's why I don't.
Yeah, like $13.
Apparently, you heard it from the man, Rock Band.
Are you the same kind of guy that will go buy a brick of like Guitar Center sticks and just be like,
yep.
Screw it, they all break the same.
Yep.
The only concession
I
made.
Them backwards anyway, so you know what I mean. At that point, when you play with them backwards, it doesn't matter what kind of stick you got.
So there is a stick. It's made by Morgan Rose from Seven Dust. Yeah. Those, they do cost extra, but damn it, such a good one.
They cost extra,
legit. But the only concession
I'll
I would ever make.
Same price for the brick of sticks as I would literally for one pair of sticks.
Yeah.
I'm not. No.
They all break in the end.
And eventually those other sticks are going to break like within half the time.
It's like
they
guitar strings, man. Like I'm sponsored by a guitar string company and I'll be the first to say, man. I'll pay the cheap shit. Like, I'll pay the Ernie balls. They're $3 a piece. Like, I don't give a shit.
Ernie balls where it's at.
Like,
that's what those are strings I use. What about you?
I don't even remember.
You don't know what kind of strings you buy?
I don't even know. I used to use like super slinkies, but you know.
Ernie balls.
Yeah, but I'm switching it up. I'm just trying to find ones that feel good, you know. You know, good bendy, you know. Or,
have you seen the new Cobalt, the Ernie Ball Cobalt strings?
Yeah.
All right, like so I started with Power Slinkies. I hated those because you just couldn't get the bend on the bottom 3 strings.
They're made for harmonics.
Yeah. So what I did was I went to the Fat Top Heavy Bottom, I believe that's the pack. And then I started getting super tired of that.
Super
and then
chunky.
I went to, yeah, I went to a Diodario.
And like,
yeah, super awesome.
I think I got DRs on mine.
All right, so
you run with DRs?
Yeah, I think I gave them a try. I'm just trying out strings, seeing, you know.
Those are my favorite brand of strings right there. I use them on my acoustic all the time. Nothing but DRs on my acoustic.
Yeah. Nice.
And my acoustic electric bass, I use nothing but DRs.
Nice. All right, Derek, I want to ask you, man. Your lyrical content, you got to talk to me about it.
Lyrical content?
Yes, yes.
Well,
I want to know.
A lot different and successful lyrically, I guess, for the most part.
Well, we all are way older. There are
a lot
of other things.
Yep. Successful is a lot about crying about old girlfriends and shit.
Yeah.
This band's a little bit different.
This one's a little more like political bullshit crying
about. Well, we've got a couple political songs.
Which
some people love political songs. Donnie loves when I write
fucking love it.
Songs. I,
have
like, I don't know.
Three more, I think I'm
going to
fucking
politics.
Put into
like,
it.
I don't want to be a political band, per se. You know
fuck
what I mean?
Hillary Clinton.
I don't mind.
Well, fuck Trump or anybody else too. Yeah. So.
We're gonna get screwed either way. Like there's not
nobody gonna get voted in. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Donald Trump is really close to Donald Truman. I'm voting for the racist white man.
Oh, that's coming from the black guy, by the way. So you can't see him right now, but he's black.
That's my story, and you can take it to the bank.
I'm voting for Mickey Mouse, bro.
You know, I don't mind writing political songs when I, you know, like
I'm voting for Donald.
But
Duck.
No, our songs are really varied. When it comes to subject matter, the vocals have a lot of variety. Actually, you know, we've got a couple political songs. I've got some songs about some old family. I've got songs about, you know, still, you know, relationship problems carried on over from Seth Pool, where, you know, a lot of that shit comes through, you know, struggling with trying to find a partner, you know, and that's falling through, and, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, like family that have died, people I love and care about, they're just in total destruction mode, and we got a lot of variety with content regarding lyrics.
So,
that's the way I want to keep it. I don't want, you know, I don't mind writing political songs, so I don't mind writing other songs, but I don't want to be like, you know, I don't want to pigeonhole ourselves into one specific type of subject matter regarding the lyrical content.
All right, so on that note, when these guys give you the music and everything like that, do you sit down at practice and just write what comes to you, or do you actually take it and, like, try to live with it for a little while?
Both. Like, for instance, the song we started off with tonight was Donnie wrote the riff for that one. Originally, it was called Pop, Block, and Drop It. It was like a hip-hop song for him. And then I took his riffs, you know, and I basically freestyled on him while we jammed a little bit, you know, playing, practicing, and I saw where I was coming to mind with. And then I'd take recordings or memorize the tunes, and then I sit at home by myself and work out lyrics. I write pages of bullshit and try to narrow it down to the best I've got. I still get flack from these guys because lately I've got some writer's block. I need to bring more lyrics to the table. I like a lot of Nirvana, for instance. We're all Nirvana fans. A lot of their songs, you know, it's like verse, chorus, the verse the same, chorus the same. And I've been doing a lot of that lately, and these guys want something more. So I've been working on trying to bring a lot more, like with Seth. I would have like, you'd read one song with fucking, and I would have like an essay for one song of just like ranting and raving. So I'm going to try to bring some more of that back to this band, to where it's more of like also from these guys' previous band, Desma, Coleman would always bring in lots of lyrics, you know? Like, every song was like fucking lyrics and lyrics and lyrics.
He told the story, yeah.
Country. They're both country influenced. Derek's really country influenced too, and so is our vocalist from our last band, Coleman. He's really country influenced. I believe every song should be a story and get a point across to you.
Super awesome, man.
So those are stories, though.
Well, I think we kind of lost it in this new age, and everybody thinks you could just write a fucking riff and push fucking loop or whatever, and
we're
just.
We're not fucking Toby Keith.
I don't believe it should be done like that. Like Derek said, it should be a story, three different verses, the chorus, you know, it could stay the same, a little interlude or something, and a fat solo to mount your face, and good to go.
I gotcha. So one of the songs I've always wanted to try is like Bohemian Rhapsody. It doesn't have a chorus in it.
Will never happen.
I'm sorry?
It will never happen with this.
No?
We don't sing.
But we're covering.
No. I mean, like, just no chorus.
Like the original.
It is ruining.
Just like,
that's all we're doing the songs anyway.
No, I mean just like writing your own song.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, I want it to be like Bohemian Rhapsody in that there's no chorus. I still have yet to do that, but I want to do that. I've never experienced it before.
I never thought about that song in that context. That's interesting. There is no chorus.
If you listen to it, next time you listen to it, just sit down and listen.
That's something I've never even taken note of, but that's an interesting concept. You know, a song without a chorus.
Let's just put the cards on the table. Freddie Mercury was just a lyrical genius.
Yep.
And he could compose the shit out of some motherfucking music, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a break, guys.
We are. Hey, that's why you're in the band.
There's also
that's why you're not fired yet.
You played Butthole Roulette and you lost the draw.
Dude, there's also the Pantera, the This Love, where you switch it towards the melodic. It's the melodic chorus. I'm sorry, the melodic verse and then the punchy ass chorus. Like,
that's,
I mean,
a good song. That's a good
yeah,
one.
Like, just oh, yeah. Experiment. I mean, listen, by listening to music, you find out all of those different things.
Somebody puts every a riff time on we the play, we just go with them.
So when you guys write, you guys are actually writing. Is it kind of like on the edge of your seat? Like, okay, here's the verse, here's the chorus. Let's figure out how these go together, or how what happens next, or is it like
in the process now? Is becoming different. Let's take this one over because our whole writing process is evolving as we've had changes in the band, and you know, like,
yeah, you know, I'm the new guy, so you know, there were songs already made before I came in. But, you know, now I got some stuff bringing to the table.
And you've done your own thing to kind of make it yours, too.
Yeah. I guess morphed into my own, I guess, you know. But the way I write, you know, I just make riffs. You know, I just feel what, you know, play what I feel. And it's just, some, you know, I just throw it out there like this song we're making, you know. I have a beginning and an end, you know. It's like, this is how it starts, this is how it ends, you know. However you want to, like, make the lyrics to it, you know. Just go for it, you know. We'll just... Here's my, you know, the skeleton of it. Let's, you know, turn it into the song that it's going to be.
So with that being said, when you sit down and you write, do you write alone? Just, like, start riffing what happens?
That's mostly how I do it, you know. It always starts with one riff, and it just goes from there. It's like, I'll make another one. It's like, hey, this fits with this. I tend to kind of make endings before I make beginnings. Like, I make a badass ending, and say, hey, man, that sounds pretty cool. And then I just kind of... work backwards.
Really?
Yeah, that's how I tend to. That's how I notice that it works with me.
Wow.
Yeah. But
it's pretty awesome, dude.
Is that like community property?
But yeah, I got
big this community.
I got
property.
Quite a bit of you know. Got a quite a bit of material built up in this, you know, head of mine that I'm cool. trying to get to these guys. So
pockets and shit, dude.
That's your teeth, Mike.
So since you're the new guy, what were you doing previous? Like, would you just write music and just let it sit and
yeah.
just let it, you know?
This guy's been marinating. Yeah. You said you're in a band previously, like from high school, right?
But way back then.
What band was it?
This guy's a diamond in the rough, dude. Just waiting.
Diamond,
I'm glad that Nikki shot him our way. This guy's good.
Yeah. Old Donnie of the Massacre, who's been interrupting the whole time playing in the background.
We love it.
Nikki shot us Alex here and. We are so grateful for it because without him, we wouldn't be able to really move forward.
This guy's like awesome sauce, just waiting to be discovered, you know, apply to some like good
some
barbecue.
Derek bread. I don't know what you're trying to go with here, man.
Age to perfection.
So you have all of that. Did you ever try to record the stuff, like maybe on your phone or anything like that to keep it? Or is it all in that brain of yours?
It's all in the brain. It's like I try and record, but I really don't like recording because it just, I don't know, it's like you got to get it perfect and it's time consuming. And
it's
just
tedious as shit.
And it's real tedious. And I play it so much back, and like, you know, over and over. It just stays locked in here, you know, so.
See, that's amazing. And like. There's only certain riffs that I've come up with that are good enough to stay in my brain. Everything else, I'm like, wait, what was I doing?
And then it just becomes more natural then after that because it's like you start it and then it just comes naturally after that, like, you know, how it's going to play out.
Recording time reached.
Mine has not, though, so we're good. So with all the riffs and everything, like... How far are you? Do you have songs you haven't brought to the guys? That
oh,
are you just
plenty.
Sitting there and
I
you're just like, oh, wait.
He probably has an arsenal.
I got tons and tons and tons. We just
We're trying to get one at a time. You know what I mean? Don't cloud my judgment because I am a very person of bad habits and creature of habit.
I got
so
you.
One at a time.
We are all victims of our own habitual nature.
Yeah.
Can't use that as an excuse.
So I want one.
Look at you using big words.
He tries to sound smart.
No, he's an intellectual in disguise.
Legit, most people.
Hide that redneck under that long hair, son.
Yeah, under that long
you
hair
can't
and
hide
dark
that
skin.
Dreadlocks.
Wow.
Nah, we love
so,
to fuck around with each other.
Donnie, Derek actually said that you wrote that first song that you played tonight.
Yeah, I helped write a few of them back before we had Alex with our other guitars.
So do you play guitar or is it strictly? Are you like, hey, this is bass, make something with this?
Well, the way I was showed to play guitar is you always have to have that bass line going in the back. Everybody says I kind of make it sound like I have two guitars playing. And I kind of get that, you know, from our other band, Desma, that good old, you know, Southern rock sound, that groove metal sound. And that's how I write. I play what sounds good to me and what I feel freaking, you know, is groovy. But...
dude,
it just comes.
It just reminded me of Pauly Shore right there, dude.
But yeah, like Derek said, some of my songs, I think they could be like hip hop songs or, you know, bluesy songs or like a groove metal songs.
Most of them are, but most of his songs don't really belong with this current band because they're too groovy, they're too bluesy, they're not fast and thrashy and punky like we are, you know. So
it all depends on this guy and what he wants to do with my bass riff and how he wants to adjust it and solo to it.
I gotcha.
But that's me and Mike.
See, that's why I like being a drummer, is because you can put an upbeat on, you know, a slow riff, and you're gonna make it sound thrashy. Like it's all how the drummer presents it. Because if you want to play slow, like Lars Ulrich playing that, you know, that 4/4 time, it's gonna sound slow, drawn out, and everything like that. But if you want to play, you know, that upbeat tempo, you're gonna make that sound faster, you're gonna make it sound more aggressive and everything like that. I found that out very late in my career, like that I could do that, and then I started going, okay, this song's mine, I don't care what you guys want, this is how I hear it. And I would make these songs, like if I wanted it slow, it'd be slow.
See, if I can't hear it, I can't play to it.
I gotcha.
That's
kind
of what
a lot of his stuff. I can't really hear it to be able to play to it. It's too slow, it's too, and I don't play that level.
I have this thing about it's
a different level from where I play at.
Yeah. You're still adjusting to that challenge.
My music to the sound that is not there.
Well, I tend to interrupt guys, but I really gotta get going though too. So I'm gonna leave this interview right now, guys.
Uh-oh.
Right. Yep. I'll see you guys.
I know my driver's gonna wanna leave.
Legit, it is 37 minutes. So we can wrap it up here. So thank you guys for your time. It was wonderful talking to you.
Until next time, thanks
Bob,
for having
thank
us
you for putting up with the tangents. I know. But we talked more about you guys and how you guys write and everything, and that's super awesome. I like that. That's what I get into with my other ones is. And that was affirmative reaction. So what'd you guys think? I know, there's no music in the middle. Sadly, we'll get you some music as soon as they get me some music, all right? Fantastic, guys. And honestly, I've been playing shows with these guys for almost a decade now. It's super fantastic to be able to see that they're doing things. And Derek, he used to be one of the bands I started with. And yeah, it's great to see that he's still around and doing his thing. So if you're wondering where you can find the Local Music Revolution, very, very, very easy. All you have to do is go and search on iTunes and on Stitcher and go to longbox.fm for our network, which is Longbox, Dirty Dowdy Podcast, the Firefly Podcast, and That Movie Podcast. They're still working on getting more people, and it will be fantastic. But for now, those are the podcasts in this network. I am very proud and honored to be part of it. So go and check them out, guys. Seriously, they're amazing. If you like the Local Music Revolution, leave a like, a comment, or something like that. Like, I'd really, really like to know what you guys think. So, facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, Twitter at TLMR Podcast, Instagram at The Local Music Revolution, and the Tumblr at tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. You can also talk to me on .com. You can leave a comment or something like that, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Before we get going, one last sponsor. We gotta talk about Cold Cock Whiskey, herbal whiskey that tastes so good and really, really does. Like, it's an asset to your drinking in a night. It really is, guys. The great thing is they sponsor bands. That's why I am on board. You can go to coldcockwhiskey.com and you can look at all of the bands and companies that they sponsor. You can get in contact with those. You can find new music, and that's what it's all about. Companies helping music, because music apparently cannot help itself right now because the industry is just wow. So Cold Cock Whiskey helps those bands get to the next level, just like Dirtbag Clothing, just like String Joy, and just like every other company that I've interviewed and helped out. So honestly, check it out, coldcockwhiskey.com. Now I have nothing more to say, nothing more to do. Yeah, so it's the end of the episode. Thank you guys very much for participating and being part of this. On next week's episode, we have an incredible ability to say this. This is my first international interview. I was sitting in a little town in California, and this gentleman was sitting in Canada, which is not crazy far away, but it's still crossing a country. And it was fantastic to be able to talk to him. So White Boy Slim is going to be here being interviewed next week. You got to check it out. It's going to be incredible. Plus, like I said, it's my first international interview. And that wraps it up. So until next time, this is the Local Music Revolution. I am Ogre. You are awesome. Take care and be good, everyone.
This is the local music revolution.